Welcome everyone to the HP Global Employee Ownership Podcast Series. Today we have with us Tabitha Cedio, VP of Safety and Risk at HP Mechanical Group. Today Tabitha is going to be talking about why she's so passionate about safety, how she got into it, why it's so important, and some different aspects of safety at HP Global. As always, we have with us CEO of HP Global, Bob Whalen, and Senior VP of People and Culture at HP Mechanical Group, Stacy Baum. Just a few housekeeping items before we get started. We do recognize that this podcast is available to the general public, but we just want to say that the views expressed in it are of Bob Whalen in the context of HP Global and may not apply to broader audiences. With that, Stacy, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. Tab, thanks for joining Bob and I today on the podcast. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
We're going to talk a little bit about safety today, and I wanted to hear from you, what interested you in a career in safety?
So actually, I was in college as a math major, and I was taking, you know, the elective courses, and Intro to Safety came up. And when I went to the class, this was in the late 1990s, and they gave us an introduction about OSHA, which had just started in 1970. I don't think people realize that. And it was a very big up-and-coming major. Millersville University, where I went, was one of the top accredited ones in the state to do that certification. And it was a very big up-and-coming for women. Women were not a big part of OSHA at that point. And I just thought it was something interesting. It said it was more career growth, and it was just getting bigger. And once I took the intro course, I was hooked, and I was happy to get out of Calc 3 and above. And, you know, I didn't know what else I wanted to be with all the math. So I switched over, and it was a very nice, small, there was probably only 25 people in our major, and it was just a really great experience. You know, I think there's very few safety people, especially back then, 25 years ago. So we were offered many different internships and jobs. So it was a very rewarding degree right from the get-go.
Tab, I think one of the best parts of getting to work with you in a safety capacity is the passion you bring for safety. So it definitely is something that you're clearly passionate about and bring some energy to our teams. What drives you to be so passionate for safety?
You know, I really like, of course, the fact that we want everyone to go home the same way they came in, and that is my biggest thing. I really like rolling out a process, teaching people stuff, and seeing it to fruition. You know, being on the client side as a safety manager and then, you know, being actually on the broker side, I really lean towards the client side because I now feel like I can embrace, explain, train, and see what I'm doing to fruition. Before, on the brokerage side, you can suggest things, but you weren't really living it every day. I enjoy what I do. I'm a very deep professional at heart. It's just my brain activity all the time. I'm just a big thinker, and I need to let it out. You know, people always laugh at me that, you know, I always bring safety at home all the time. You know, I can't even go to Home Depot without looking at someone on the scissor lift or the ladder. And they're like, keep it at work. You know, all my friends and my kids laugh at me. I just enjoy what I do. I enjoy the challenge. I feel it is a challenge every day. I feel like it's important, and it's hard. It's something that is hard. It doesn't come easy. It's often, you know, sometimes not as easy to think about and to change our actions and behaviors, but it's kind of like something I strive to do.
And it's really about discipline, being consistent and doing the same things, keeping it top of mind day after day.
Yeah, and I try to make it fun. You have to make it interesting. You have to cater it to your audience. I think that's what's huge. You can't have these, you know, mundane, boring trainings. You know, you have to do, whether it's AI or videos or you know, live speakers, you have to really make it fun. Some people have done the same thing for 20 years, and, you know, some people don't even want the phone, or they don't even want a computer to do the training, and you just have to make it interesting. And it's just gotten worse over time because the regulations are now created from injuries. So there's more and more regulations that come up every year and more strict because people have gotten hurt. So we just have to keep it top of mind.
Bob, what's your view on safety, the impact to the organization, and how you think it aligns with our culture?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty simple view. and Tab already mentioned it, is, you know, we want everybody to go home at the end of the day the way they came. And that seems like a simple thing, but in our business, it's really not. There's, you know, all kinds of things going on a job site or in a service situation, you know, that we really got to, first of all, we got to be educated and on how is the best way to work. But then we have to actually do it. We have to be disciplined. And, you know, I go back to, I took a job site tour, not of one of our jobs, you know, right around 2010 when I was just getting in the industry. And I was going to the nuclear power plant that they were building in Augusta, Georgia. And I was on this tour, and the person that was giving the tour yelled at us about not having our hand on the railing for walking down the steps. You know, and at the time, you know, I thought to myself, my gosh, I've been walking down steps my whole life. Why would I need? But it goes to show, and now over the more than 15 years that I've been in the industry, you see how many simple slip and falls happen, you know, that are, you know, end up with somebody having to have surgery or something. And just as simply as holding on to the railing as you're walking down the steps may prevent that. And so that, I think that that's an important part, you know, of doing and being disciplined about doing the right things all the time, and that we are so much more likely, you know, not to have an issue if we do that.
That's a great example. Tab, what's something that has had impact on you in your safety career? An experience or something that you've seen work or?
Yeah, so I've been, like I said, you know, I've been in this business for about 25 years now. I've unfortunately seen some incidents, whether it's amputations, loss of legs, loss of hands. You know, you think just normal, you know, food production, and there's hazards behind it. I've seen, and that has really focused on really looking at corrective actions, the root cause. And unfortunately, sometimes that stuff has to happen to really kickstart the culture of safety, which it has changed after those. Positively, you know, we've had a speaker who was actually burned a long time ago, and he has been a speaker. I've seen him 3 times now in person, and he is just a motivational speaker. That not only the repercussions of his injury to himself, but what it's done to his family, what it's done to his life, the pain it was in, and pretty much it was due to a shortcut for not wanting to wear the proper PPE and not taking the time to lock stuff out. So that 5 minutes has shown to be a lifelong effect. And I think some of those things, unfortunately, have just shown that, you know, there's no plumbing attachment. There's no, you know, walking on a job site, you know, without the right shoes or without PPE, that is worth it to not go home. You know, your family deserves it. And it's all these little shortcuts that we take for granted that we don't realize. You know, you're talking about the handrail. It's more of, you know, something falls on the floor. You're walking over a puddle somewhere. That person behind you might not see it. You have. So you might want to put, you know, a warning sign or stuff like that. If there's something falls, take it out. You know, I remember when I walk at like stores, you know, like the runners, when you walk in the stores, if they're, you know, if they're folded, I always unfold it because, you know, some people just walk over it. Well, then someone behind me might be on their phone or something and not see it. So all those little things, now, again, my mind is trained like that, and it's everywhere, at home as well. But it is those little things that just make such a difference. And dealing with a lot of different industries, unions, non-unions, different management styles, I'll tell you, that's probably been one of my biggest, because you have to really cater to getting supervisors and managers. And from being, you know, whether it's they're very into safety or you really have to convince them, you really have to, as a leader, understand how to do that and not just, you know, dictate safety and just be forceful. Sometimes you have to be, but you really have to share the message and make it easy. And that's one of the big things that I like to do. I'm very thorough with presenting training, presenting SOPs, explaining the why. We need to do it. It's not just I'm at home thinking of how I can, you know, add some time to someone's day. People are like, where'd you come up with that? I'm like, I didn't just come up with it just from for myself, I came up with it because maybe we had 5 incidents of a laceration, or we've seen that in the industry that's coming. It's more of a, you know, cause and effect, not just I'm just creating it from scratch, which I think is huge.
Stacy, I think one of the things, you know, that I used to talk to my kids about when they were at home, and you know, one of the lines I would use with them is you don't want to get a disproportionate penalty, you know, for something you do. You want the penalty to be in line, you know, with the infraction. And the problem with safety, and like a lot of other things, you know, with kids growing up, is, you know, sometimes the penalty is disproportionate, you know, to the crime. If you just take your glasses off, you know, for, you know, a minute because they were fogging up because it was hot or whatever, you know, and you lose your eyesight because you didn't have your glasses on. I mean, that's a disproportionate penalty,
absolutely,
you know, for the crime and or the infraction, you know, and I think we just want to be thoughtful about that, you know, because it's just so important, you know, in our business. If you're daydreaming out on the site, you know, and somebody's swinging a bucket and you're not paying attention, it could be a problem. So there's just so many things that can happen. We really need to be disciplined and focused, you know, relative to the importance of safety all around.
Very good comments. So Tab, can you tell us what's the industry seeing right now as far as top injury types or incidents?
So unfortunately with construction, it's a lot different than the general industry, the manufacturing, because it changes every day. Whereas you might have a concrete surface one day, you might have, you know, pavers the next, you might have, you know, the finished flooring. So all the terrain changes, the job site changes, subcontractors the day before could have done stuff. Then now that you got back, it's completed. So you really have different risks every day. You know, the top 3 things construction is seeing right now: fall from heights, whether it's ladder, scaffolding, roof, people not being tied off properly, or having fall protection but not using it properly. You know, you don't want to have people wearing the harnesses and then not wearing it, or not attaching it to people, or device. Struck by incidents, whether it's falling off a roof if they're not looking, falling off of storage, falling from heights, whether it's materials, from a forklift not being stabilized. And then the third one is caught in between. So if we're using a machine, if we're using a tool, attaching things, fastening stuff, unfortunately, you know, sometimes forklifts, equipment, people, you know, all those things we're seeing is actually the top 3 in the construction, with the 4th being electrocution. And I will tell you the top 3, we've actually seen one, if not multiple of each of those incidents. And we've seen them, and they've turned out to be lost time. They've reduced to be, you know, some people may never be the way they were before. They may have permanent injuries. And again, it was shortcuts. It was, let me just do this real quick, even though I didn't have the right material. I didn't want to secure that because it was only going to take 5 minutes and I only had to move it a couple feet. So it's more of, we really just need to. So it's interesting because what is the industry standard is what we seem to be following. And it just so happens to be something that we really need to focus on. And I think we do a good job when stuff does happen. And what we're really trying to do is just trying to be more proactive on saying, you know, let's not wait till this stuff happens. Let's really try. Let's send that as a, you know, a more of a culture to say, we want to make sure if we take the extra 10 minutes to set something up properly, or if you don't have the right PPE, you know, time out, let's go get it. There's no one in all of HB since I've been here that is going to say, no, you don't need to get the right PPE. You know, I think it's more of the employees are scared to ask. But I want them to know that they can stop and they can ask. And if for no, if some reason they say no, call us. You know, everyone calls and they're not shy to call me. So I will always back you up on that. But that is a big thing. I want to make sure that people know, because we have seen the incidents happen.
And Stacy, I think Tabitha makes a really important point. And, you know, I think about the importance of leadership as it relates to creating this culture. And when I talk about leadership, I'm talking, you know, down to the very lowest supervisor. You know, if you're sending a message, you know, that it's all about efficiency and not about safety, you know, that will have consequences, you know, for our company and for our people. And I think it's really important to understand, you know, that you need to consistently in a disciplined way, always being reinforcing a culture where safety is the most important thing. Frankly, it's the only thing, you know, that matters. And so in, it's just like anything else, you can do the right thing most of the time, but if you just do the wrong thing, you know, once or twice, you know, it's going to bite you. And that goes for the leadership that we have in the company. If we have, you know, 500 leaders in the company, if we have one or two out there that are not doing the right thing, it's really going to hurt, you know, our culture, because our employee base is going to see, you know, an inconsistency. And then everybody's a leader when it comes to safety, because you're responsible for your own actions. You're the leader of you. You know, and so everybody in their own way is a leader and is responsible for our safety culture and making sure that our behaviors are in line with that, and everybody's watching.
You know, along with that, Bob, you know, it's interesting when I talk to some supervisors and foremen, and they sit there, you know, we explain to them doing JSAs and toolbox talks and training, and they're like, do we have time for that? Is that factored into the job? You know, is that something that, you know, how do I fit that in? Well, when incidents happen, we don't really plan time for that. And what they don't realize is the incidents itself, a 10 minute toolbox talk or a 15 minute JSA, your incident is not only direct, the employee goes to the doctor, you have to do the investigation, you're meeting, you know, you might have to clean up the job site, you might have to retrain everyone, have a stand down. And then what happens is the indirect. People don't think of that. You might have someone who can't come back to work. You might have to get a temp. You might have to get other labor. Now your job is really delayed because you maybe have one person out. The time it takes for paperwork, the time it takes, you know, God forbid you have to go to a court hearing or something like that. They have to do physical therapy 3 times a week.
Or you have an OSHA inspection.
Or OSHA, yeah, you have to call OSHA. So those little, that 10-minute OSHA talk or JSA at the beginning of the shift or the week, we really can't compare apples to apples to that time. And I think there is a mindset of that. Like, how do I find the time to do that? You also don't have the time built in for an accident. And I think people automatically look at the cost right away and say, oh, how much is that going to cost me? No, it's, and it could be the cost of medical and, you know, time away, but what about the job, you know, the job one and the responsibility, you know, and the respect. You know, what happened? It's just like when we have plumbing, if we have leaks all the time, a GC might not call you all the time because you have leaks. So if you have incidents all the time, they might double think. And that's why we have all the rates and stuff. So we really just need to promote that it's not just about, you know, the cost or we're just trying to get the job done, because it really does affect the time.
Yeah, I think of this, you know, in the context that a lot is short-term thinking versus long-term, mm-hmm. you know, thinking. Are we really thinking, you know, about the long-term and the long-term effects. And, you know, to make Tavis' point, you know, using that short-term time is going to pay dividends in the long run. But the reality is we only get one go at this.
Right.
You know, and if we permanently disable ourselves or are killed on a job, you know, none of this was worth it. And that's something that I think we just got to keep in mind is, as we go through this, and hopefully it carries over not just to what you do, you know, when you're on the job here, but we're going to be, you know, it's going to be just as sad as if you're at home cleaning out your gutter on a ladder and you get up on the top step and fall and disable yourself, or, you know, worse yet, you know, one of the biggest safety hazards at home are ladders,
right?
You know, and so I think it's just really important. To this needs to be the priority 100% of the time, uh-huh. Not 99.9, 100% of the time. And I think it's a long-term choice that we make that we know will pay off in less, you know, accidents.
And we've talked before about leading from all levels in the organization. And I know you mentioned it earlier, it's everyone's responsibility for safety. So no matter what your role is, I think it's just about being a good teammate. So whether some of our leaders on site are busy or preoccupied with something else, if you see something, say something.
Well, the reality is our one of our biggest problems with safety is our newer employees that are on the site. You know, and that's everybody's responsibility. Right. You know, when we have that, you know, first year apprentice that's out there, you know, take the responsibility as a mentor to make sure that when you see them doing something, you know, that's not in line with what we should be doing, take the time, you know, to explain it. And this is really not time, you know, for hazing them over what they're doing. It's really a time to show concern and just like, hey, no kidding around. You know, you do this stuff enough, it will bite you. And so really important for our company, but most importantly for that individual.
I think another big takeaway too is it's not just the safety manager's responsibility. And that's something that we've really promoted over the past year or two. You know, we've had supervisory safety training to kind of say, yes, you are, you know, managing the project, but you don't just take a blind eye to safety. You know, you can't just say, oh, the safety guys come and put your glasses on. This is something that you have to do. Our safety people can't be at every job site every day. So this is, you have to be an extension of our safety and risk department as a job, as a supervisor. You have to actually manage the claims. You have to manage the new hires. You know, some of our divisions do have the hard hat program for our new hires. They have a different hard hat for the first 6 months, different color, which kind of, so when the supervisor or foreman's walking around, they might take another, a little longer look when they see, you know, the gray versus the blue hard hat, just to see what's going on or attach a mentor to them. But that is, I think, key. And you know, doing the supervisor training, they're like, I'm supposed to do the investigation and then this and then that. I said, yeah, like, we don't have, you know, 200 safety people. It's, you know, there's a supervisor foreman at each job, superintendent, and they have to embrace that as well. And it can't just be, you know, it's, we don't want to be the safety police. And every time we're there, just finding stuff. This has to be every day. You know, everyone can trip on that hazard. You don't want to wait till the safety person comes. And I think that's important, especially geographically where we are. You know, we have so many different job sites. Manufacturing, there's one site, one safety manager can be there. We have so many different sites, even for each division. There's no way a safety person can be there.
Bob, from a leadership level, how do you stay informed of how we're doing? How do we measure safety across the board?
Well, I think one way to just emphasize, you know, the importance of safety is, you know, where you put it in the order of things that you do. And so with each one of our divisions, we have what we call an operational review each month. And the very first topic, you know, on that agenda is safety. You know, it's what's going on with safety. So every single one of our safety incidents I know about, you know, so we go through in that meeting. And then the first one is, did we have any safety incidences? And then we're going through the investigation that was done post, what needs to change, what happened, why, you know, what's going on, how do we prevent this, you know, in the future. You know, it's just such an important part of it, you know, and I think, you know, and it's not just, you know, on the construction site or on the service site, you know, we're also looking vehicle safety too. One of the biggest things for us is vehicle safety. And we put in the driver scorecard, you know, recently. Right. And, you know, I even know how that's affected me. I drive a personal car, you know, so my car isn't, you know, rigged up with, you know, measuring, you know, my scorecard. But I will say this, I find myself thinking about when I'm too close to the car in front of me, that why am I, you know, right up on the backside of that car? You know, where do I think I'm going? You know, because that's just, you know, one of the ways you're going to end up being in an accident is not have time to react to something that happens in front of you. So this plays out, you know, in our life, you know, in general. And I think it, you know, it's really important, you know, for us to, you know, recognize the importance of this stuff. And for us to symbolize the importance of safety, we make it the very first thing, you know, that we do. Before we even talk about employee turnover and, you know, that aspect. And then finally, at the end, we get into, you know, what's going on financially? How are we doing financially in the business? Those things are all important. You know, we got to do all of them well for us to be successful. But very specifically, safety's on the front end to just show this is the most important thing.
Can't do the operation out stuff without all of our assets, which is, you know, our key assets are employees. And I really just don't like to see people get hurt for silly reasons. And I think that's another form of my passion. Like, you know, I'll give you whatever special glasses or hat or, you know, let's just gloves. It's just silly. You know, I've seen bad injuries, and I think, you know, I get a little bit shaken up with that. You know, I think there was one or two here incidents that we had that it really hit me. And I know it's, you know, it's a part of the job, but there's definitely things over the years that I'm devastated to see it. And, you know, look, I've already had to be at two people's houses in my career to tell them or call them, tell them their spouse lost a leg, lost fingers. And I don't want to do that again. And, you know, I don't want to be morbid or disgusting, but it's a horrible thing to do. And, you know, then it's not only just that one time, it's helping him get, you know, her get fixed and get in medically taken care of. But then it leads into a whole OSHA.
Yes.
So it's a whole year you're talking about it. So it doesn't go away. So it's something that I just think it's important. I'm a huge component of, you know, at home, work and play, be safe. You know, if you're injured in your lawnmower and you can't come to work the next day, it not only affects your home, but now your work and now your finances at home. We might have disability insurance, but it still affects you. You might not be able to hold your kid like you used to. You might not be able to go to the ball game and play catch. Those are the things that I think it's important too. Like Bob said, to preach it both and to practice it both.
So Tab, June is National Safety Month. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening in June.
Yeah, so nationwide, June is National Safety Month for, you know, a variety of reasons. A lot of companies embrace, whether it's just additional awareness of topics. You know, of course, we all talk about different topics, but it's just to bring a little bit more emphasis to the workforce, to your teammates, just to emphasize, you know, more we want people to double check the equipment, double check your ladders before you do it. Make sure they're attached to the vehicle properly. Do a quick vehicle check. Just kind of promote awareness to your everyday stuff. Again, it's stuff that you do every day. It's like a habit. You know, the habits are, just like they say, unsafe behaviors are the biggest cause of accidents. It's the habit that you're doing. I always laugh, you know, when you lose electric at your house and you go to the room, your lights are out, you know that.
Right.
But you know, by habit, you go to the next room and you hit the light switch. You know the lights are out, it's dark,
right.
And you know the electric went out. But it's, you get into such a habit that to break that habit or to change the unsafe behavior is very difficult. So, you know, we just asked that June, you know, since, you know, we're still doing that month, is just emphasize, you know, your teammate next to you, you know, you saw take his glasses off because it was foggy or he was sweating. You know, give a minute, you know, put your glasses on before we start welding again or you know, or cutting that pipe again. It's those little things that I would want someone to tell me that, because they might have forgot. They might have just said they were hot or they're in the moment, or someone said, grab that real quick. You know, give me a minute. Let me just do that. It's not bad to let someone know, you know, maybe, oh, do you realize that your hat fell off? Do you realize, you know, your glove was ripped? Stuff like that. It's just little things like that. So really, it's just a month to just bring more awareness. Construction has its own safety week in May, which I know a lot of the divisions are talking about. A lot of the general contractors hold some additional training sessions and some motivational lunches. But it's just really more of, and again, at home, another big thing that, you know, we're going to bring up this month is heat stress. That's a big thing to start the summer. And that's something that I think people take a lot for granted. Even home, you even hear it in sporting events. People don't take care of themselves, you know, for personal sporting events of hydration. And it's important to know those effects. So we're going to be covering off on some of that this month. So we really just want to put another emphasis on the safety awareness. So you can never have too much.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Tab, I know you and the safety leaders in the organization have been working on a project or are going to continue working on a project throughout the rest of this year for Know Your Why.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that project?
Yeah, so just like we, you know, Bob and I both mentioned, you know, we want everyone to leave work the same way they came in and go home. You know, your family deserves it. You deserve it. So what we were trying to, you know, really motivate and spread the word of is what's your why? So if you're coming to work and we see bulletin boards and we're trying to do some sort of posters, bulletin boards, some sort of just the visuals when you come to work, whether it's your dog or your spouse or your kid or, you know, your mom or your car, or you're a car buff. What's your why that you want to go home? What's your why that you're going to make good choices to come to work today? And, you know, it, I think it breaks the ice of if sometimes a supervisor, an employee, or even an employee to employee, you know, they might see that dog and be like, oh, I have that dog too. Oh, that's great. You know what? I would want to go home to that too. It's little things like that that I think it brings it more personally. And I think that's what we have to do. I think a lot of people are like, oh, work, work, work. But it is personal to us. We do want you to go home. And we don't need all your personal life. But I think it is a key core because you don't want to just come to work and that's your life. You go home to enjoy your family, your kids, your dog. So we're really trying to promote that. Hopefully in the next 6 months, we really want to push that out to the divisions and say, look, guys, what maybe when you go to the job trailer every morning, you see a picture, you know, of your dog or your spouse. You know what? I do want to go home. I do have a vacation next week with that. I do want to go enjoy that with them. And it just really promotes why you want to do it. Don't take that shortcut. You know, don't forget your glasses. Oh, you know what? My glasses are in my car. Let me go get them real quick. These little things, I know it sounds silly, but again, if you grow that habit of thinking about it every day, it will become nature. So I'm excited about that. I like crafty things too. So I like doing the crafts. I do like talking about it. So, you know, I am definitely over passionate about it, but I think it's important. And, if you know me, I get a little excessive about stuff, but you know, I think that's where I like to see things to fruition. I like to see things work out. And I think a win-win for everyone is for people to remain healthy.
It's a great note, I think, for us to end on. Thank you, Tab, for your time.
Absolutely.
And all of the good stories. Thank you, Bob, for your input and stories that you shared today. I think safety is so important to our business and our people.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have questions for Bob, we'd love to hear them and answer them in future podcasts. Feel free to submit them to eopodcast@hb-global.com, and we'll see you next time.